It's that time again. Time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful, hot, muggy Clearwater, Florida today. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Very glad to be in this seat as always every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's always a joy to bring the Word of God across the airwaves week after week. And with me today is kind of odd, you know, that you're here, Dr. Angel Falzone from our Thursday night show. So we don't call you doctor that much on this show, right? We just call you Angel?
That's right.
Okay, all right. Cindy Logan on our radio team will be joining us from Indiana in just a little while. It's just a joy to have you in there.
It's good to be here.
In person.
Good to be here.
You were here in person for this show 2 weeks ago, which was our Resurrection Day show. And that was our 10th anniversary. That was a wild day. And we had a lot of our radio team here. And that was pretty fun, wasn't it?
It was great. We had a great full house.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. You know, we're very blessed to be able to do these shows. The Thursday night show that you and I do on life coaching is such a blessing to me. I enjoy it every single week that we do it. And then we've done it 2.5 years. And this one now, we're in our 11th year. So that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Did you ever think you would be doing radio work, Dr. Angel?
Never in my wildest dreams.
Really?
Could I imagine this?
Because this is interesting because a couple weeks ago when Betty and Megan were here and Betty said that doing radio had been a lifelong dream of hers. And she had said that to me before, but I was just so surprised by that because it usually is not somebody high on somebody's bucket list, you know, of things
True.
They want to do. But I guess when God puts something in your heart,
yep.
You know, and I remember when you and I first talked about, I took you to lunch, we discussed, and I said, I got a project, what do you think? And about our Go Yard show, our Thursday night show. Do you remember how you felt that day?
I was a little scared.
Why do you say that?
Oh, I was petrified. I remember our first couple shows. I was a little scared. But you know what? Now it's secondhand, you know.
Isn't
I love it?
Isn't it? And it grows on you. You know, it's that wonderful, wonderful form of communication with our audience out there, wherever they might be. And that's one of the cool things about it is because this now, you know, the amazing technology that we have allows us to be all over the globe, you know, and with here on Tan Talk Network and also on Starcom Radio Network, which we are on Saturday and Sunday around the globe. So I'm having a mic problems. Can you tell that?
I see that. It's not cooperating.
I'm in the control room. She's in the studio, and my mic just keeps falling. But anyway, I think we're better. Okay, so yeah, that day was a wild day because it was like God birthed it in my heart, you know, to do this life coaching show that we do on Thursday nights because I'd been doing this show for 8 years by then or 7.5. So, you know, knowing the power of radio and knowing the numbers of people that we can influence, it just dropped in there. And talk to us about Go Yard. We have a minute to do that before Cindy comes on. I want to hear what you think about Thursday night and how can people find us?
Well, Go Yard, that is our life coaching radio. And the term Go Yard is a baseball term for hitting those home runs in life. And, you know, we all live life and we hit bumps and bruises along the way. And Go Yard is just that show to help you get through and do it well and do it victoriously.
Amen. What do you mean by bumps and bruises?
Oh, you know, life does throw some curveballs at us and we strike out from time to time.
Really? Yeah, we do.
And we all experience that. And so it is a great platform for us just to talk about the nitty gritty, the here and now, what we're going through in the everyday.
Oh, absolutely. So, and it's, when we say life coaching, the whole idea is to help our audience live better each day, make better decisions, right? Give us some ideas or give us some examples of what things we tackle, Dr. Angel, on our Thursday night 6:06 p.m. show right here on this network.
We have tackled a lot of topics. We have talked from domestic violence to relationships to dealing with anxiety, dealing with depression, parenting your difficult children.
Wow.
Life choices. You know, we've really hit a huge gamut of topics over the last 2.5 years. They're all on our website on the GoYard2014.org website. They're tagged, titled, and ready for you to use whenever you find yourself going through one of those experiences.
You know, you're exactly right. And I've been busy this week, besides being a little under the weather. I was trying my best to get caught up with some of our website stuff. And so our webmaster will, at the end of this month, which is today, the beginning of this next week, put all of our shows from this show and from Go Yard that were done in the month of April up on our websites. So the website for Go Yard is goyard2014.org, and this one is bohmglobal.com. And because the ministry is in our 16th year, that's even hard to believe. I tell you, Angel, time passes quickly when you're having this much fun, don't you think?
Oh, it absolutely does. It absolutely does.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, there's so many times that we can get discouraged in life and think we're not making a difference. And I don't know if any of you caught Bishop George's show right before us today, but boy, that was a powerful word that God was giving through him, that when you find those times in your life, just hang in there. Don't give up. Because God's getting ready to do something amazing in your life. I receive that, and I know that a lot of us need to hear that. And this is a show about hope, and so is our Thursday night show. You know, it's time that we realize that God's got great things in store for every single one of us, that we are not abandoned. We are not bereft. We're not alone. God's got plans for us. I mean, I didn't know you until what? How many years ago? I don't know, 5, 6, maybe,
yeah, it's
something like that.
6 years, okay. In August.
So you know, we never know where God's going to plant our feet, who He's going to bring into our life, what path He's going to bring, you know, bring us down. And it's just exciting to walk this walk with God and know He's got something in store, isn't it?
It's very exciting. It can be a little scary sometimes because it takes a lot of faith and trust. And
it does.
You know, that's what's so important to build that up for us so that we can walk and trust that He has the perfect plan.
He does have the perfect plan. Lord, we thank You right now for this great time together. Before we even enjoy every moment of it, we thank You for the music. We thank You for the comments. We thank You for the teaching of Your word that's going to bring new life to every single one of us. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your presence in this amazing way today. Lord, we pronounce a blessing on our audience, whether they listen live or listen later on at some other time and wherever they are around the globe. Lord, we ask that You move mightily in their lives and draw close to them as they draw close to You, Lord. And we just continue to thank You in advance for what You're going to get done today in this show, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to start with a song by Casting Crowns. And I love this group. And this probably is one of my favorite songs. And then I'm going to let you talk to me about this, Angel, on the other side. But the title of it is The Well. And leave it all behind. Just come to the well if you're thirsty. You know, leave it all behind. And that's powerful. Let's do it. Let's listen.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah, it's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection,
leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection,
leave it all behind.
Your temporary pleasure,
leave it all behind.
Wow, praise God. Leave it all behind and come to the well, because that's where God wants us to be, right there in his presence. And he is that well and that presence. Oh, my. Is that you, Cindy? Okay. We've got somebody that calls in from time to time, and I think that's happened again. Okay. Okay. I don't think that's Cindy. Wow. Okay. Yep. Crazy. I don't know what's going on. Let's just do this. Cindy, why don't you text me when you're ready to call in, okay? That will be the best thing because this is happening now on three lines. Okay, so let's get back to what we're talking about, Dr. Angel. This well, the well of his presence, that's where we need to hang out. That's where we need to be, you know? And so often I think people just go through life and they're barely existing and they're not really drawing from that well of the life-giving source that he can provide for us. You know what I mean? If we just choose to allow him that.
I agree with you. I think, you know, a lot of times we may go to the well and we may bring our stuff with us. And then when we're done in his presence, we pick it back up and take it back with us. All those problems, we're not leaving it.
Right. We're not leaving it. Oh, talk to me about that because that's huge right there.
It is, you know, and I think, you know, we can trust him to bring it to him, but then there's something inside of us that makes us feel like, I've got to pick this back up and take care of it just in case he doesn't get on this. I can't just leave it. And that's that faith we were talking about,
yes,
you know, and that trust,
yes,
is learning to lay it down, bring it to him, and leave it.
Absolutely. It's human nature to try to want to work out all of our issues, isn't it?
It really is.
Talk to me about that because let me get Cindy text here real quick. But go ahead.
Well, you know what? I think what it is that part of us, we want to control. As humans, as people, we want control. We want full and ultimate control of our lives. And when we trust God, he is the one that should have full and control of our life. But our humanness, we want to trust him. But what if? What if he doesn't come through? I need a plan B, a plan C. And that's that.
That's
human.
The whole thing. That's that humanness. Yes, absolutely. And so when we take it back, it's so often because of a real lack of faith and trust, don't you think? And I think we all struggle with that, Dr. Angel. I don't think you get to a place in your spiritual life where you never have those doubts or fears come in.
No, you're correct. I think as we grow, we can trust him more.
Amen.
But you know that human instinct just gets in the way of us needing to feel like we have to be the ones in control. We've got to take care of it.
Right.
It's our problem.
Right.
Instead of letting the one who can part the seas and you
right.
know, call us into existence take care of it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want us to talk a little bit about the disciples as they went through. We celebrated 2 weeks ago today the resurrection of Jesus and all that. And we know that he actually appeared to them, several of them, that night, Sunday night, came right through the wall, and also appeared different times over the next 40 days, and talked to them. He taught a lot of people. Hundreds of people heard him speak in his resurrected body. I was looking at one of my commentaries yesterday, and it was talking about the fact that there were actually hundreds of people, not just a few disciples. That's all. There were hundreds of people. So there were a lot of eyewitness accounts of Jesus in his resurrected body talking and teaching and whatever. Can you imagine how that must have been for people to be taught by the Lord himself? I mean, you know, in his resurrected body.
I think that would be absolutely, first of all, amazing because it takes away all that doubt. That is the here and now physical representation of the miracle of God. And it was before them walking, living, breathing, and talking.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that. And I think we just got Cindy finally.
All
Cindy,
right.
Do we have you?
I'm here.
Oh, good. We were having problems with a caller that just kept burning up the lines here. So, anyway, we're glad we have you, and it's been a while since we talked to you, and
it's been too long, girl. Way too long.
It has.
I can't wait to get back on the air.
Yes, we've missed you. Dr. Angel's on here too, and we're gonna have a great show today.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Yep. And today we are still in our series Free to Live, and we are, you know, we're just talking about the fact that Jesus, after he came out of the tomb, a resurrected Lord, walked around, interacted with people, taught people, hundreds of people, for 40 days, you know? And it's interesting that he did this for 40 days because if you will both remember, back in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. Do you remember all that? And he came out of those 40 days. And with every temptation, there were three of them that Satan presented to Jesus. With every temptation, Jesus countered those with, it is written. So we look at his life, those 3 years of ministry from that point until now he is the resurrected Lord, and he was constantly fulfilling scripture, fulfilling prophecy about himself, even to the point now that we see him in at the place where we're at right now, where he is in his resurrected body. He is walking through walls. He is ministering to his disciples. He is teaching to hundreds of people. He's doing all this. And I find it fascinating that he did this for 40 days. That's 40 days in the wilderness now after he's gone through all of the stuff that he had to suffer, and that he continually said, it is written, and he was fulfilling prophecy. And now, 40 days, he's free to live in his resurrected body here on this earth and minister to people and set the stage for us believing in our resurrected Lord. I love that. Cindy, do you want to talk to us about that a minute? And we'll get to Angel.
I don't know what to say, Pastor. it's mind-boggling.
It is, isn't it? And it's so like God to do this same type of timetable. 40 days in the wilderness, then 40 days of being totally and completely set free to live. Go ahead, Angel, with that, and then we'll get back to Cindy in a minute.
Well, I love that we have those timetables, and I think that it's amazing that his disciples got to see him have that completion of that ministry here on earth.
Right.
And we see that in them. We see that in their behaviors.
Yes.
You know, when we see the disciples pre-resurrection and post-resurrection,
yes,
they're different people.
Oh, my heavens. Okay, that is an excellent point, and I was going to that point next year, right?
I'm sorry.
No. That's exactly what we want to do. Let's talk about what the disciples were like before the resurrection, after the crucifixion, before the resurrection, even during the time of the beating, you know, in the court area and all of that stuff, the crucifixion. Cindy, what do you know and what do you remember about how the disciples were at that point prior to the resurrection? Did I lose you, Cindy? I don't know. Did I lose you? Cindy, are you there? Yep, I lost her. I don't know if we're having phone trouble or what, but maybe we'll get her back. But I know that they were a lot different than they were after the resurrection, weren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, we see fear, we see anxiety, we see doubt. They were, you know, there's a lot of things that they were unsure of.
Was this real?
What's going to happen? What's going to happen to us? And you see them wavering and
right,
kind of feeling defeated in some of their behaviors. And then after,
yes,
they became bold and fearless and, you know, it's
woo,
a complete change of who they were.
Complete change. And how does that affect us? Because not only do we have the New Testament that was written by so many of these that had witnessed the resurrection or knew about it, but how does it affect our daily lives when we really get the resurrection down on the inside of us? You know what I mean? How does it change us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, all of that, Doctor?
Well, I think it changes us in a lot of the same terms it changed his disciples. You know, in
right,
the beginning of our walk, we do have more of that, you know, that doubt and that fear, and we want to trust, but we're not sure if we should trust, or is, you know, God really going to do what he's saying he's going to do?
Right.
And, you know, as we grow, we start developing that boldness and that higher ability to trust, and we grow kind of on the same trajectory that they have grown.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting. These are the guys that lived with him for 3 years, walked with him every day, hung out with him. I mean, they had a chance to learn so much. But yet, let's back to our human point, because this relates to everyone in our audience, that regardless of how much we bump up against the truth or faith or whatever in other people, until it takes on the inside of us, we aren't changed. You know what I mean?
That's when the change happens, and we grab that and hold on to it because we know that we know that we know. And for them, it was that physical, tangible, seeing Christ, the risen Christ, and interacting with him was that moment where, nope, you could say anything you wanted. You couldn't take that experience from them.
Right.
And I love that God records this for us because we get to see who they were and who they have become. And nothing except for that resurrection could have done that to them.
That's right. Had Jesus just died and been a good prophet or a good teacher and oh, there's that tomb of Jesus, you know, we're going to give a tour of the tomb and all that. If that would have been the case, their lives would not have been transformed.
Absolutely not the way it was. I mean, most of them were martyred for Christ.
Exactly.
You wouldn't die for something that you had a doubt about.
No, no. And go ahead. That's just an amazing point.
Well, it's funny because when I was taking some of my theology classes in college, we had to do the evidence of the resurrection.
Yes.
And that's where I focused my evidence on was the
really?
Change in the disciples.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As eyewitnesses of
that
whole
experience.
You're
a great one to discuss this then. Yes. And how that affected them.
It totally changed their life from the inside out that very moment. They were never, ever the same. They grabbed it. Didn't matter what anybody said. The threats that came, they had the holy boldness upon them.
So what you're saying is that until we have a real revelation of the resurrection, and the fact that it is not just historically true, which it is. Mm-hmm. Josephus was one of the historians of that time and wrote explicitly about it. There were a lot of others that wrote about it. It was common knowledge. You know, until we actually get that down on the inside of this, that this really happened. The world is full of skeptics, aren't there?
There really is, yes.
Talk to me about that because that's really been on my mind this week.
It is, and they're always, you know, people of the world, there's a lot of people looking to discount this or discount that. And, you know, when you kind of look at Scripture, especially New Testament, in a weird kind of way, the Gospels are almost a diary of the experiences that the disciples had and their reactions to walking daily with, you know, Lord.
Right.
But their own growth comes right through what they recorded and the terms that they saw it. And to see that they walked every day. It's like they attended church every day, the best
front
row
seat.
Can
you imagine?
And it didn't hit them until they saw that resurrection moment, which means we don't get to see that resurrection. We have to trust and believe that it happened. But once
Absolutely.
We get it, we aren't the same.
We aren't the same. When you and speaking of that, there is a difference between people who have a head knowledge of God being the resurrected Lord and those that have somehow sealed that down in their heart as an established fact. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, and that's experiential. And I love experiential learning because nobody can take that away from us. When we've experienced God, when he came through, when it had to be a God moment because it just couldn't happen.
Right.
Those are experience moments. Facts, people trying to present you with alternative information or naysayers or doubters.
Right.
They can't take your experience from you, and it grows you in a way that you know that you know that you know.
Oh, I love that. They can't take your experience away from you.
And once you've had a real experience with God, you aren't the same.
That's very interesting because there's so many people that, especially back in college days, and that's interesting you took that class. I didn't know that. But when so often it seemed to me that I would run across people in college that really had no basic understanding of the resurrection at all. Their knowledge of God was so completely limited. And I think that is pretty common in human nature. That a lot of people have been raised that way. They just have not had that experience. So interesting that you took that course and that you actually wrote on that particular topic.
Yeah, well, it is kind of, you know, it's funny. I had to take New Testament and Old Testament survey theology courses as part of my degrees, but it really gave me a different insight because, you know, I was one of those people who I memorized tons of scriptures and I learned the Bible inside out, but it wasn't until I experienced God in my 20s that I knew God.
Whoa. So you mean experienced him in the way of answered prayer, or what do you mean?
Well, I had an encounter with him, and he totally changed me from the inside out that moment. It was just a totally different moment. And all that head knowledge is great, and it helped me get through, but it was that hard experience that totally changed it for me.
Wow. Is there more of that you'd like to amplify on after this song or not?
Or is
that something you don't want to talk about?
No, I'm an open book.
Woo, hold on to me, King and Country.
Winter has come back again. Feels like the season won't end. My faith is tired tonight, and I won't try to pretend. I've got it all figured out, that I don't have any doubts. I've got a busted heart, I need you now. Yeah, I need you now.
Song right then, Dr. Angel.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, that's one that I don't play very often, but it just fit right here, not realizing that it really does fit right here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Woo! So we were saying right before we went to that song about the life change in you, and obviously this show is not going the way I had originally planned, so we are just going with it as we always do, correct?
Yes.
We just go with the Holy Spirit's flow. So talk to us. Talk to us out of your heart.
Well, you know, I was raised in church, attended church my whole life, yep. And was raised on the Bible stories, and I participated in things like Bible quiz where we'd memorize books of the Bible.
Yeah, me too.
And
man.
I could quiz on that with the best of them.
I bet you could.
I could.
Longest verse in the Bible, Esther 8:9, right? Stuff like that.
It was intellectual. You know, I had an intellectual relationship with God.
Yes.
At that point, I knew he existed. I never doubted, was there a God? That was an intellectual. I knew about him in a lot of the ways, but I didn't have that experience relationship with God. And it took for me to get into my 20s and to go through an experience where, you know, sometimes being smart can be a curse because you can handle a lot in your own power. And I did. I went through life handling a lot of stuff on my own strength because I had that ability. But it took me to hit something that I couldn't do.
Oh, wow.
And in that moment, I attended church and I heard the message, but I heard it intellectually. And one Sunday, I will never forget, you know, I just went to the altar and I'm like, okay, I need you, God. I know you can. I need you. And it was like this moment. And it was really intense moment for me because it changed me inside out. But it changed the entire way I saw scripture. It was like taking the scale. You know, I saw them in an intellectual, yes, historical, you know, kind of context.
Right.
This became personal all of a sudden. It was like all these stories were so, oh my gosh, look, it was like seeing it for the first time all of a sudden all over again.
Wow. Wow. And from that point on, you had more of a faith and trust in God?
So much more. And I grew by leaps and bounds. Once I, you know, made that, they call, what do they call, the 18-inch trip down from your head to your heart.
Yeah, from your head to your heart, yeah.
It was so true for me because, you know, I attended church, you know, my whole life. You know, people said I was a Christian. I said, yeah, sure, I'm a Christian. I believe. But it wasn't until I had that experience with God that, no, I believe. And I know that he can handle it. And I know, you know, and I know I can trust him. And I've gone through a lot of difficulties from then to here. And it's made me stronger and our relationship stronger.
Don't you find it interesting that God in his wonderful wisdom allows us to get to the end of our rope so many times in our lives where we need to make a change and we need to get to a different level of faith, and yet we kick against it because we're content where we are in some ways, you know, or we get to a place like you're describing where we aren't content and we have no clue what to do about the mess we're in this time.
Absolutely. You know,
right?
To get way over my head and to get so deep where I knew I did not have the, you know, no bit of smarts or, you know, skills was getting me through that. It was a God getting me through that
right
moment.
You and I are both mothers, and I, of course, I'm a grandmother also, but we've talked many times about the fact that it takes a while sometimes for our kids to get to a point where they realize that we were right when we said that 3 years ago. Just teasing. But you know what I mean, where we want them to get to that point where they understand that they may don't have all the answers in themselves.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And so when we see our kids get to that and recognize and acknowledge, wait a minute, I need help here, Mom, with this, or whatever the case may be, how much more our Father God wants the same for us, right?
Yeah, and he's so patient.
He's so patient.
You know, it's so funny because I can look back and I can see where he was setting, I call them memory stones, and where he set a stone in my life, setting me up for that very moment when we had our moment together.
Whoa, a memory stone. That's interesting. Talk to me about that. I know where it comes from, the book of Joshua, but I mean,
true.
Tell
and,
me.
And we have them in our lives. And it was where, you know, I look back and can see where the hand of God was working to get me to the point where I was, where I could surrender.
It's, you
and
know,
it was decades of him laying that work inside my heart.
Decades. You know what? That is so amazing that God has that kind of patience with each of us and loves us that much, just like we do our kids. We know that our kids, when they're born, they are not going to make decisions about a marriage partner at age 2, you know, even though in some cultures maybe that isn't done. But I mean, that they're going to wait as they have to mature in order to be able to make some major life choices, right?
Yeah.
And we are the same way. God knows we aren't, when we first get saved, we are not ready to make those huge life changes or decisions that we are, which takes me to John 14:6. And skipping over everything else we're going to talk about right now, I want to go to verse 6 because here is the seventh I am in the book of John. And it is, and it's not actually chronological order, the seventh. It's just the seventh in our series. And there are seven in the book of John. And this one is Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, let's talk about that and break that down because that is what this show has become, obviously. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, the way is equivalent to where Jesus talks in Matthew 12 that sometimes we receive things in a 30-fold way, a 60-fold way, and a 100-fold way. In other words, we can start out just understanding things in the very simplest form, and then we seek more truth, way, truth, life. And eventually, we get to a point in our spiritual walk where we've got to have all God has for us, and we want all that life, you know? So the 30-fold realm is equivalent to when we get saved, when we have that initial understanding that Jesus died on a cross for me, for my sins, for my sicknesses, And we accept him as our Savior. That's what it's all about there, the way. So what I hear you saying, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the fact that he has all three of these here is he is showing us there are steps. There is a progression in our lives, our spiritual lives. We don't all start out at the same place. We don't all understand everything there is to know about working through issues in our lives at the very beginning of our salvation. Usually we just understand we need a Savior, you know? And so Jesus said, I'm the way. So he's the way. So interesting, back to your example of what happened to you at that age, and you were about 20-something?
Yeah, my mid-20s.
Okay. And it's interesting when we acknowledge that he is the way to eternal life, that he is God Almighty, that Jesus came to this earth, died on a cross for us. He's the resurrected Lord. We understand he's the way to heaven. We understand that. That's the basic principle there. But then things have to begin to happen in our lives to cause us to mature and go from that point of knowing him as the way to eventually knowing him as the truth. And then eventually knowing him as life itself, which is what we've been talking about, free to live. So let's go back to this, because that's just setting the spiritual aspect of what you're talking about. Let's go back to these things that have to happen in our lives, because I believe this is going to help some people out there. I have no idea who, but I believe God is directing this way. Times in our lives where we have gone around the same mountain over and over again, equivalent to Jesus being in the wilderness 40 days, coming out, being tempted by the devil three drastic ways in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4, and Jesus responding with each temptation, it is written. In other words, the word of God is the final authority in our lives. Do you think, and I guess I'm just interviewing you now, but do you think, Dr. Angel, that you understood at age whatever, 20, 21, that he was the final authority, or were you just up against a hard place and needed to surrender?
I think there was a little bit of as a mix for me, because like I never wavered. I knew God existed. I knew he died for us. That was intellectual knowledge.
Knowledge, okay.
But
that's kind of the equivalent of the way.
The way.
You knew that
right.
was the way.
The
right.
truth became when it was, he did it for me.
Whoa, yes.
And when it became that personal moment.
Wow.
Like, you know, and in the beginning, and when I was going through difficult times, would I bring it to God in the beginning? No, because I felt like undeserving, or I should be able to figure this out, or God expects more from me, or I'm not
right.
worthy, you know, because I wasn't, you know, living all towards the Bible. Like, you know, we believe we have to, and that's not how God works at all.
Well,
like,
so often most of us,
changing us.
Right. But so often most of us were raised in churches where there were a lot of do's and don'ts.
Right. And you got to get it
legalism.
All together. And,
legalism.
And
yeah.
I definitely came from a very legalistic background. So I, you know, here I am. How, you know, I had a child out of wedlock and I'm like, I'm not deserving to come to him with this issue or
wow.
this problem.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, he's not happy with me kind of mentality. But once he became, you know what? He's taking me as I am. He loves me for who I am, where I am, how I am.
Woo, praise
and
God.
My heart
preach.
Is just to love him.
Yes.
And he knows that.
Yes.
And am I perfect? No. But
right.
my heart loves him.
And you see, that's what he's after. That is what he's after in us. It's simply how much do we really love him? That's it. And so often we get so preoccupied with our failures. I want to go back to that point because, Lord, you just take this show, because I know this is helping some people right now. It is not the plan that we thought we were going to have today, but God, you know what you're doing. So we just stop right now. We pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the audience that listens now and later, that this will speak to hearts and cause there to be an absolute excitement and acceptance of God's plan for each individual life, that this somehow will resonate in so many hearts and minds. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're totally dependent on you right now for what you want to get done in Jesus' name. Amen. It's actually a blessing when we go through these times where we don't know, including shows, where we don't know what God is going to do next. Where it's almost like he loves it when we're on the tip of our toes in anticipation. You know what I mean?
In the limbs of the trees of faith.
Oh, yeah. How did that feel, if I may ask you, to have that child and to know that you were in a situation, difficult situation?
It was very shaming to me.
Okay.
Because I knew it wasn't right and I knew it wasn't okay. And I knew, and so, you know, I based the way people responded to me as that's how God's responding to me.
Uh-huh. And that's not necessarily good.
No, you know, all of a sudden now I was a bad influence and, you know, the church didn't really want me to come or I had to sit in the back row so that the other, you know, young adults wouldn't notice. And so
wow.
I kind of took that abandonment from my church system as that's how God's seeing me right now.
Right, right. But of course.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Totally not. Totally not. But, you know, I think so many people do that. You know, we base how people, especially people that we respect in the faith, our pastors, our leaders, our mentors, our teachers, and
we
when
do.
They react negatively, we feel like that's like how God's seeing us, and it just makes us want to move further away from him.
Because so many Christians don't spend time getting to know the real nature of God. Instead, they take their clue or their cues from the spiritual leaders around them, which is so wrong. So often it's wrong.
But that's what happens when we have that intellectual relationship
yes,
with him.
Yes, when we just understand the way.
When you have the experience
yes.
with him,
yes.
it's totally different. But when you're in that intellectual, I know this is truth, I know this is him, you know, I know. But at the end of the day, that emotional connection, we don't know that yet. So we have to look at others to see how that works.
Exactly. I'm taking us to John 13, verse 34. And Jesus said this just prior to going to the cross. Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. And it's so interesting here. And then Simon Peter, where are you going? Jesus said, you can't follow me where I'm going. You'll follow later. And he understood Peter so much because Peter said, I can't follow you now. I'll lay down my life for you. And then Jesus says in verse 38, which I love this because he saw right through Peter. Really? You'll lay down your life for me? The truth is that before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And we know that he did. And yet Jesus is saying here, love one another, even though he knows that in our humanness, we're not really entirely capable of that unless we allow the lover of our soul to love through us, right?
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, Peter, you know, got to spend the last, 3 years walking alongside
yes.
Christ. But,
yes.
you know, when we look at, you know, a lot of the miracles that happened that time, it wasn't personal until his mentor, his master, his savior died on that cross and he saw him arose. Then it was, then it was personal.
Then it was personal.
And that's that moment that totally changes us is when it becomes personal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So back to your life, okay? Because I believe that our audience is learning a lot right here. Because there's been so many well-meaning, quote-unquote, Christian kids that have grown up in youth group and have gone to church, and they're the pastor's kid. I was the pastor's kid. I was the missionary's child. I was the one, you know, that a lot of them looked up to. But yet, I made a lot of mistakes, too. We all did, okay, and have, and still do, obviously. But with all that said, the grace of God just is so overwhelming because he knows how we're made. He made us this way intentionally, gave us a freedom of choice so that we could eventually choose him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If we couldn't choose, we would just continue to do whatever we wanted to if we had not the ability to choose him in our lives. So when we've had these bad, quote-unquote, painful life experiences, what do we do with those?
Well, you know, sometimes they will sit and torture us. And,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
That's where I was. I was very tortured by things I had went through in my life. And it hit me in my mid-20s where it was, I was very tortured. And, you know, and I hated it in that moment. And I saw it as I felt like this isn't fair. I didn't ask for this. You know, that whole victim thought, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we go through that. I know it's a process. We go through that. And, yeah, it wasn't fair. And I didn't ask for it. But I had to deal with it. And the way I could only deal with it was surrendering it, literally laying it there and being like, okay, God, you've got to deal with this because I can't.
Right.
And, you know, he did. And now I look back and I'm on, this is going to sound kind
of
weird, but I'm thankful for those, that experience because without it, would I have been over my head enough to be able to really get to God?
Absolutely.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Okay. In everything, give thanks. And I think that is a hard lesson to learn for a lot of us. We are so prone to only thank God for the good things when things work out perfectly. You know?
Absolutely. Yes, we hear that all the time. But, you know, it is also through the difficult things or things we don't ask for, the experiences that just happen to us because.
Yes.
And those are moments like God has used that, and not only has he healed me, but he has used that in so many people's lives and in so many ways that it's been amazing to watch what people meant for harm to me, you know, right out of the book of Genesis. He's used for good and blessings, not just to me, to my children, to all kinds of people that I get to work with and deal with. And that is amazing. And every day when I watch, when I can hold someone's hand and help them get through the healer, it's like, there's another one, God. That's why I had to go there.
Yes. So you're saying that we can praise God when we are in life's toughest times. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything, give
thanks.
Everything.
You know, and in the moment when you're feeling the pain and when you're in the torment and the torture of, you know, and you're in your head and you're just so overwhelmed and you're feeling frustrated, it's hard to give thanks.
Yes.
Because you just want to get out of it.
Yeah, you just want to go. Yeah.
You know, and it was hard to give, you know, to get learn to start giving thanks for it. And it almost sounded like it was weird and wrong, but no, it is, that is what God used to change my life, which is, and in turn, used me to change a lot of, you know, to be a person of, you know, to help change other people's lives and bring them.
Had that situation not happened to you, would you be in the same place as you are today?
Oh, absolutely. I know I wouldn't be. First of all, I wouldn't be in the same place with God that I am today. I don't even know that my life would have taken any of the same trajectory that it has. It was a life changer for me. It absolutely was.
So when these life-changing moments happen, instead of panicking, when things are not going the way we think they should go, or we're worried about how they are going to go, maybe this is going to happen, and then I won't have that, and then that happens, and then that won't happen. And we just go down that road of panic.
We do.
Anxiety.
And that's because we're looking with our human eyes, and we're looking through our human solutions. And sometimes it's not a human solution, and it's not our human. It's God. It's a divine moment. And, you know, in my mid-20s, you know, when I had that solid relationship with him, little did I know that within 7 years, we were going to walk through a very difficult time. And that second, the next time I had to walk through something, which I had uterine cancer, which was very scary. My kids were really little, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, you hear cancer and you think you're going to die. Of course, that's what goes to everybody's head. And I'm only 32 years old when I was diagnosed.
Did I know this?
I don't know that you knew this.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, audience. Well, I mean, and I've known my good friend here for a long time, but I did not know this. And what is that? One of those secrets you just keep or what?
I guess. I was so in touch. My relationship with God was so strong at that point that I didn't know how it was going to work out or if it was going to work out this side of heaven, but I just knew he had a plan and I had to trust it. And I learned to do that during those couple of years.
A couple of years?
Yeah. Well, I had to have a few surgeries and then go through chemo. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That must have been after all three sons were born.
Yes. Yes. Spencer was a baby. He was about 5.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's a huge life event right there. Oh, my. We got to play this song because it's going to, and we're going to talk to Dr. Angel more, obviously, because there's maybe some more secrets we don't know about that I can't wait to hear about. It's got to be good. How can I keep from singing your praise? Fits right now perfectly. Chris Tomlin. Praise God, praise God. Isn't that the story of your life? How can I help from singing his praise, Dr. Angel? I mean, you can't, because just in my life, too, there's been so many amazing things happen that you just, you look back and you go, God, you really did engineer that. You really did have a bigger plan than I knew, you know? Talk to me about that before we get to ID here real quick.
Well, you know, he does, and that's just it. You know, he's got the whole picture from the beginning to the end. You know, it's the puzzle box. He's got the whole box. We get a couple pieces, and we're trying to put the whole story together. And I've lived in the cuss. I used to carry puzzle pieces with me to represent. This is all I'm seeing. I have to trust that my master has the whole picture we're trying to make here.
Wow. You used to carry puzzle pieces.
I do. I have wooden puzzle pieces that reminded me that that's my view. That's all I get to see.
We're going to talk more about that in the second hour. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Don't go anywhere. All right. Welcome.